wonderful spirit here. I love being in the presence of God. I love just having time to pray together. Such a lost art in the church, unfortunately, but God's restoring his church. He's making us hungry for him. The psalmist said, Lord, revive our hearts that we may seek after you. That's what he's doing. Revive in our hearts to seek after him. Every church has its seasons, and we're in a transitional season. Every season has its divine purposes. But every new season is birthed by God's hearts being stirring, God stirring God's people's hearts to seek after him, to pray. I'm going to be talking in just a minute out of Ephesians chapter 6, if you go there with me. We're going to be, this January, often we focus on prayer, and it's just been my heart. I actually was going to speak more on intercession tonight, and so I think that'll come in a couple of 3 weeks or so, because I just really feel led to deal with the issue of spiritual conflict, spiritual warfare, spiritual prevailing. I did want to mention that Dr. Wood, who's our general superintendent, he asked me if I would write a book, a prayer book, just a few years ago. It's not the book I wrote with Randy Hurst that I was mentioning this morning, but this is just simply called 2 Corinthians 7:14. I actually spoke on this verse here last Sunday night, although the book's a different approach than what I talked about with the three movements of 7:14 last Sunday. But this is it's a 28-day prayer guide, and the first week is praying for your own life and your own depth, second week for family and friends, third week for church and ministries that you're associated with, fourth week for praying for global issues, including unreached people groups. And so this is a book that's in English and Spanish, and I don't make any money off of these, so I with good conscience just say, if this is a tool that would help you as you're starting the new year, just for 28 days, 4 7-day weeks, most weeks are 7 days, aren't they? Yeah. So 4 7-day weeks, actually, 28, right there. Now, you can find it on Amazon. Just don't use the Roman numeral, 2 Chronicles. Just, you got to write it all out. 2nd, S-E-C-O-N-D, Chronicles, C-H-R-O-N, and then S-E-V-E-N, F-O-R-U-T-E-N. And if you do that on Amazon, or put my name in as author, it should find it for you. Or you can go to ag.org and pull down the resource tab and look up Gospel Publishing House, and it's right there, too. You can search and find it there, and we can get that book to you. Ephesians chapter 6. Thanks for pressing in on prayer, especially for our church family. And Pastor Mike just referenced this verse, verse 10. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. It's not a suggestion, by the way. It's an imperative. He says, be strong in the Lord. As if we might have something to do with that. There's a positioning of our lives as we walk in the Spirit in a place that keeps us in the dimensions of strength and spiritual release towards our lives. And our responsibility is to continue to line up with the strength of the Lord. He wants you to line up with the will of God, yes. He wants you to line up with the purpose of God in your life, yes. But to fulfill all of that, we need to first of all line up with the strength of the Lord. And he said, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And put on, verse 11, this is Ephesians 6, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That gets pretty out there for us. But we face a lot in the invisible realm. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand. Not so that when the day of evil comes, you'll probably collapse. But when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. I mean, when all hell breaks loose against us, when all else falls apart, one thing is true in the end. Because we know who we believe, we're left standing. I mean, let's face it, folks, no matter what's against us, we're going to be left standing. And having done all, to stand. Now, there's a verse in Proverbs 24:10. You don't have to turn to it. But it's a verse I want you to promise me before I read it. I want you to promise me that you'll never read this verse when you're visiting somebody in the hospital. Because it is not a pastoral care verse. I mean, there are some times for certain verses. But here it is, Proverbs 24:10. You're going to promise me you won't use this verse at the wrong time? Okay. If you falter in a time of trouble, how small your strength is. See, now don't read that to anybody that's hurting, like just on their back. You know what? You falter in the time of trouble. How small your strength is. But you know, it's a wake-up call. You know, the fact is, if we're not left standing, how strong our strength has been. How small our strength has been. And he says, there is a place in the battle. Now, to quote a rather apostolic friend of mine and a longtime Assemblies of God missionary, we're in a war. We're in a war. If we live like consuming civilians, we'll get clobbered. We've got to live like spiritual soldiers. But it's easy to forget we're in a war. And you know, I don't think you need to look for demons. If you are pressing in, if like we said this morning, you are not giving up and you're going hard after Jesus, I mean, the demons are going to be looking for you. You don't need to look for them because you got a huge target on your back. And he said that there is something in the heavenly realms. And this helps me so much because he said, you know, we don't struggle against flesh and blood. You know, we think we do. But I want to tell you, your real battle is not your biggest critic. Your real battle is not that person that's aggravating the living daylights out of you at work. Your real battle isn't even your spouse. I said that for the sake of marriage ministry. It's not even your spouse. That's not your real enemy. Your real enemy is in the invisible realms. And your real enemy is aligned to bring you down and to stop you. And we face this battle in the invisible realms. And actually, reminding myself of that really helps me. Because I find that I blame myself for a lot of things that aren't really my fault. It's simply that I'm in a battle and the enemy's shooting at me. You know, and we're going to take casualties sometimes. Sometimes I just feel like, oh, I just feel like it's just so hard to get this done and everything. And I go, what's wrong with me? And I'm just beating myself up. And sometimes it has nothing to do with you. Sometimes circumstances just happen. Like, where did that come from? God, how could you? What is absolutely going on here? And you know, could I have? I mean, is there? And then you just double think everything. And could I have done something to avoid that happening and everything? And sometimes the answer is no. You know, often the question is not what's wrong with me. The question is, what is it I must be doing so right for hell to be after me? I mean, sometimes it's because you're doing so much right, because you're going hard after God. And I know people, they will start tithing, and sometimes God blesses them, but sometimes all hell breaks loose on them. I mean, there's just demonic warfare. People will make commitments like they did this morning. Okay, God, I'm not going to stop now. But they're going to be facing things they don't even understand all week, because I do understand. This is why we've got to keep covering one another in prayer. So that's why as soon as he ends talking in a few verses about the armor of God, he's immediately going to go into saying, so let's constantly be praying for one another, for all the saints, all the time. We just constantly need this covering prayer. Now, I pray for myself all the time, just in case nobody else is. Man, I got over the guilt of that. I have so many people say, oh, Pastor, I feel so guilty when I pray for myself, you know. God's got so many people in the world to worry about, you know, and here I am pestering them. I feel so guilty. I'm not worthy. You know what? I got over that years ago. That's what I call false guilt, right? There's good guilt and bad guilt, right? Just like there's good cholesterol and bad cholesterol, there's good guilt and bad guilt. And that's bad guilt. And I pray for me, just in case you're not. Because you know what? We just need to be covered in prayer. Because we're in a battle. And the enemy's shooting at us. And sometimes we're blaming a lot of people and we're blaming ourselves, where those things aren't the issue at all. It's rather the unseen, invisible realms that are pressing in upon us. And you're a target if you're going after Jesus. I just want to say that. You're a target of the powers of darkness, if I understand this. But, Paul said, having done all, stand. Having done all, stand. And finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not, I'm just reviewing this, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but our struggle is against rulers. It's against authorities, against dark powers from this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now that's some pretty vivid word picture of what's staring you and I down if we're going after Jesus. And if we just kind of live like consuming civilians, and our Christian life is basically, that was a good service, or I wonder what my Christian friends think of me. I mean, you're in the wrong ball game altogether. God wants us to walk in the Spirit. God wants us to, having done all, to be left standing. If you fall in the time of trouble, Solomon wrote in Proverbs, how small is your strength? But we don't need to fall. We can take on the full armor of God and stand. I have a friend, I haven't talked to him in a number of years, but when I was a university church pastor back in Minneapolis, after my years at studying at the University of Minnesota, we were starting to plant campus ministry groups, Kaffa groups around Minnesota, and then we'd bring them together every year for a retreat. And I asked Rick Howard, he did a lot of our student conferences back in those days, 30 years ago, and he came and did one of ours in Minnesota. I'll never forget, it was so powerful. One morning we had an evening session. It was an especially powerful session. I mean, he just blew us away with the exposition of the word and the big picture of the kingdom of God and who we are in that kingdom and God's destiny. And he came to one moment where he just gave us a list, actually it's seven things long. And he said, listen, as we're in this battle, I want you to know right up front, I love this. Here is what Satan cannot do to you. You know, when we put on the spiritual armor, we'll break those pieces down a little bit in subsequent weeks and look at, because that's how we fight the spiritual battle. In the spiritual armor, Paul identifies six gospel realities and then associates a piece of armor with them. And they are salvation, righteousness, truth, faith, word, and readiness. Not necessarily in that order, but those are the six gospel realities. And when we root ourselves in those gospel realities, then he uses his analogy, a word picture, different pieces of the armor. But I want to tell you, because we are in Christ, because we're going after him, we are positionally given the advantage up front. At the cross, Jesus destroyed the enemy, and he defeated him. And so we don't start with my victimization and try to work forward to ultimately, if I can find God's victory. No, we go the opposite way if we walk in the Spirit. We start with the triumph of Christ already settled, and we work backwards from there. You know what he said? Romans 6, in our battle against impurity and sin, he said, reckon yourself dead to sin and alive to what's right. You know, reckon yourself. I mean, start there and work backwards. Don't try to get yourself there from your present failure. We start from a position of strength. We're in Christ. Jesus defeated the enemy. We can stand because he's still there. He's alive. We know who we believed. And we stand because of his present and finished work. And we also understand that in this battle against the aligning powers of darkness against us, in this battle, there's some things the devil cannot do. And so it was on this night at this conference, at this conference years ago, where I had all these students, the students I pastored, students from campus groups all over Minnesota together. And it was just like the Spirit of God came in that room. And Rick just started telling us, I want you to know, here's what Satan can do. We start with what Jesus has already done. We start from strength, and we work backwards from there. But here's what Satan cannot do. Satan cannot cause you to backslide, he said. He cannot cause you to backslide. Satan cannot send you to hell. He can't. Theologically, he cannot send you to hell. Satan cannot, I love this, Satan cannot change God's mind about you. He cannot change God's mind about you. And he cannot tempt you. I know this is a hard one to believe, but he cannot tempt you beyond what you're able to handle and resist. Especially with Jesus' delivering power in your sight. And he cannot cause God to give up on you. He just will never give up on you. One of the great hymns of the Old Testament that was sung over and over. Your loving kindness, Lord, your loving kindness never fails. It's better than life. It never fails. Your loving kindness will never give up. I mean, we cannot, the devil cannot make God give up on us. He's always for us. He's always towards us. He's never, you know, he worries about, well, I don't know that he worries, but you know, I mean, he knows our capacity to not be strong and to mess up and to not trust him and to not walk in strength. But we start with strength. We start with what Jesus has already done. We stand our ground, and then we understand that the devil at his very worst still can't make God give up on us. And God, he goes on, Rick Howard goes on to say, number six, God cannot, the devil cannot touch you without God's express approval. There are times where, you know, we're in a battle, so we do get hit. And God understands the battles that he clearly approves for us to deal with. But I want to tell you, the devil, that old stinking devil, he can't touch you. He can't touch you without God's express approval to grow you. I heard a famous pastor, one of our pastors in Sons of God and writer, Mark Batterson, I heard him say last week, I heard him say, you know what, if you're not hurting, you're probably not growing. You know, and we like to say, no pain, no gain. By the way, I was surprised how many people were at the Y yesterday morning. I went to work out for a while. I mean, it was full, way twice as many people as normal on a Saturday morning. And so clearly all these New Year resolutions, you know, hitting the weights and hitting the machines and hitting the track, all these New Year resolutions were quite amusing to me. But I want to tell you, in spite of our best intentions, you know, no pain, no gain, right? And if we're not hurting, we're probably not growing. God does allow the enemy to shoot at us, obviously. But without his express permission, there's boundaries around what he'll let the enemy throw at you. Sometimes the enemy throws things at us, and then we crumple in our insecurity, and we crumple in our unbelief, and we just kind of take over from there and finish ourselves off. We shouldn't do that either. But you know what? You know, it's probably you're not the big problem initially. It's you're in Christ. You're in Christ. And the truth is, the enemy can't touch you without God's express approval. And he said, the enemy cannot forcibly stop you or the church from the outside. The enemy cannot forcibly stop you or the church from the outside. I mean, 2,000 years later, we're still here. Amen. I mean, the enemy hasn't yet been able to stop the church from the outside. I want to tell you, the enemy, he's a loser. I say in Jesus' name, he's defeated. But he still thinks he can take you down with him. But I want to tell you, Jesus has overcome. And so the very first, and it's the only one we're going to talk about tonight, because it sums it up, the very first piece of armor that he goes into to shape the pictures of how we don't topple down, how we don't, you know, in the time of trouble, falter because our strength is so small. He starts with the belt, and he calls it, that holds kind of everything up, you know. It's kind of keeping all my clothes connected right now, my belt. And it's what connects everything, and he calls it the belt of truth. Truth. Gospel is shot through with truth. The truth of who God is, the truth he calls us to, as he convicts us of the Holy Spirit, to have with ourselves. One of the hardest things about following Jesus is just the abject honesty that he requires of me. I want to live in denial. I want to pretend it's not that bad. I want, you know, and he just keeps making me kind of come to complete honesty with myself because he's the God of truth. But here's the great thing about the belt of truth. We don't have to live by our feelings. We live by what God said about us. You know, at some point, we're going to need some kind of reference point. If the enemy is, as he will say in a couple of verses, shooting fiery darts at us, if he's really doing that, if we are his target, We need some kind of steady reference point. And I find, especially when I'm in the heart of spiritual battle, I trust less what I feel. I mean, I think God helps us with our emotional lives, and they conform more and more to God's presence and God's spirit in our lives. But let's be careful. I mean, you can get very emotionally agitated. I know when I pastored ministries in the past, and there are times where I feel like we just come under attack for seasons. And one of the first thing I notice is that everybody on my leadership team, they just start becoming kind of touchy with each other and uptight. And it just feels like you got sandpaper grating on your spirit. It's just, it's not that I love the presence of God, but this is very different, you know? And sometimes you have feelings you don't understand. You're going, where did that come from? And what's wrong with me? And all of this. And I want to tell you, sometimes the enemy will exploit our feelings, and then he'll always give you the double whammy. He'll point out something that's a weakness, and then he'll condemn you for it on top of it. You know, he just loves to give us that double whammy. Point out what's wrong and then clobber us for it. So we just feel terrible about ourselves. We just feel insecure. We just feel like we've lost our footing with God. But I want to tell you, we cannot walk by feelings if we're going to be left standing at the end of this. We got to somehow decide some things are true. And there's something very stubborn about faith. There's something just like I don't care. This is what God said about me. This is what God said about my past. This is what he said about my future. This is true of what Jesus accomplished for me 2,000 years ago when he died on a cross and blew out of the grave. This is what's true about reality. We don't trust what we feel. We trust what God says. That is always like 101 of spiritual warfare. We just need to have underneath our feet the insistence that true things are true, and I entertain nothing else than the truth that Jesus has won the victory for me. And I start from there. I entertain no other possibility than that God will provide for me. I start there. I entertain no other possibility. No matter how much lack I feel, no matter how much worry I feel in the middle of the night, I entertain no possibility other than God's going to keep his word. We used to sing that old song, Standing on the Promises, I Cannot Fall. Yeah, standing on the promises, I cannot fall. At some point, you stake out truth. And you live by truth, and you make that your reference point, not what you feel, not what seems to compute in terms of what's happening or not happening around you. We put our feet deeply into the cement of truth, and we stand. And having done all, we just stand on what he said is true, not what I'm worried about or I feel. This is just standing. Being a spiritual warrior is a very stubborn thing. You just are flat out stubborn. You say, I will entertain no possibility other than what God has said to be true and to be done. And he's going to do this. And then we constantly walk under the protection of his shed blood, because with his blood he purchased us. With his blood he washes us clean. We plead the provisions of his blood over our lives every day to say, Lord, let the provision of your cross, of your what you have done, that I start with your finished victory and work backwards from there. And then, Lord, help my life to be saturated with truth. Lord, just let my thinking, just let me just catch those thoughts. Let me just get them back to what's true. Not what I feel, not what I worry about, but what I feel. Help me to confront the enemy with truth. I mean, in the temptation, did Jesus reason with the enemy? No, he just quoted truth right back in his face when he was tempted. Just, Lord, I pray the word of God often. I quote the word of God when I pray. I stand on the word of God. I got back pocket scriptures I carry around with me. I mean, that's figurative speaking, but it means I can just pull them out at any time. I've got them memorized, and I just quote the truth right in the face of the devil and to stand on the promises of the God who's called me. And I want to tell you, we don't have to fall. The writer of Proverbs said, if you falter in times of trouble, how small your strength is. You know what? And my strength is still too small. But I want it to keep growing. Because listen, we don't need to falter. We can stand. Having done all, stand. So be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Will you stand with me? Let's in fact stand to our feet. And Lord, we just stand in your power. We just stand in your strength. And we just thank you, Lord, that you're the God who's brought us victory. We thank you, Lord. We thank you we don't start with our weakness, we start with your victory. and we plant our feet on the grounds of promise, on the grounds of what you've said. And Lord, I just pray for those of us who are maybe experiencing just a lot of false guilt, a lot of needless condemnation because spiritual battle's been coming at us, and we're just blaming ourselves for anything, for everything, when it might be because we're doing everything right. And Lord, there's nothing wrong with us. And I just pray maybe you just release some of us tonight from false guilt and false spiritual insecurity. And I just pray, oh God, that you'll make us confident in you, confident in your finished work. And Lord, that we will stand in the power of your might tonight, covered by your blood, full of your Holy Spirit. But some of us are in conflicts with people. Some of us are facing financial stress. Some of us have had some life reversals at work. Some of us, just some stuff's happened. We just can't compute. We don't understand. But Lord, we acknowledge we're in a war, and we thank you that you're going to help us to stand. Lord, I just pray whatever we're facing, that in the end, we're going to be left standing. Lord, we just take that position, Lord, that we're going to be left standing in the end. So we thank you, Lord. Lord, teach us the way of faith. Teach us the way of your Spirit and of walking with you, Lord. And just help us, Lord. Just help us to, having done all, to be strong in you, to stand our ground against the enemy. We thank you, Lord, that someday you're coming again. Thank you, Lord. You're going to wrap it all up and you're going to finish it off. The victory you secured at the cross, you're going to claim someday when you come again against the enemy. But Lord, meanwhile, thank you for your blood. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the authority you've given us in Christ. Thank you for the victory we start with and live in. Thank you for it, Lord. And we give you praise, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord.